All right, welcome to another edition of Degenerates. I picked that song to lead in for two reasons. One, because the horse didn't send me a song, because he actually got me, even though I guaranteed a win, he got me this week by one game, really close. Neither of us lit the world on fire. Neither of us lost any money, but horse got me by one game. But he didn't send me a song, so I went with Wildest Dreams for that reason. I had to, and the other reason was because I really didn't think in my wildest dreams horse had any chance of beating me last week. But he did, so I'll give him his 30 seconds in the sunlight. But he kind of was the big loser because I still got to pick the song. Went with Taylor, no-brainer. We got a pretty good slew of topics before we make our picks because a lot of guys did some dumb shit this week. And actually, two of them are moves I could see the horse – I have seen the horse make, potentially. First one being Ryan Mallett. Guy misses the flight to the game against Miami. Has to fly commercial. I'm pretty sure I've seen the horse make that move before. What do you got on Mallett?
Honestly, it's pretty fucking hilarious. The guy, like, you saw it on Hard Knocks. The guy comes in, gets cut, or gets demoted to second string QB, and then just doesn't show up to practice the next day. Says sorry. And then the next week, I mean, he's, like, pissed that he got pulled off, and then Brian Hoyer hits a Hail Mary on him. So that's pretty bad. And then finally misses the flight. I think it's just hilarious that all this shit has happened to Ryan Mallett. I mean, like, obviously not a pro. Just can't handle his business.
This guy has to be, like, the dumbest guy in the league. Like, this is stuff I expect Jets quarterbacks to be doing. Like, Ryan Mallett would be a perfect Jets quarterback right now. Luckily, we have Fitzmagic playing great, so we don't need him. But, I mean, this is something, like, you would expect – a Rex Ryan QB to, like, you know, a guy just missing flights, he's skipping practices. It's a total clown show. They made the right move cutting him, I think. I mean, you know, at this point, the team's so bad, you might as well just make a statement, you know. They're not going to win anything. They weren't winning with him. I don't think they're going to win with Hoyer either, but at least if they're going to lose either way, might as well go with the guy who's been a professional and not the kid who sleeps through everything. So, I mean, it's a good move. You had to send a message. It'll be interesting to see who picks Mallett up because he does have a strong arm, but I don't know. Who's in the market for a quarterback that could really use him right now?
Well, Tyrod went down, but they have EJ. Tyrod's coming back next week, but they have EJ. It's kind of funny
Bills
that he came out of the Pats organization. Like, he was, like, studying under Brady. Everyone thinks, like, oh, that's going to do wonders for his, like, character and shit like that. And he just becomes, like, the biggest shithead in Houston.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of makes you – it's an interesting thing with the whole, like, Patriots dynamic. I mean, it's just – I think kind of what it shows is I hate the Patriots, obviously, because I'm a Jets fan, but I also just don't – I mean, you know, might be because they're so good and beat us all the time. But either way, it just shows you the difference in an organization – When you have a guy like Ryan Mallett, he's with the Patriots for whatever it was, 5 years, 4 years, I don't know how long it was, but and doesn't get in any trouble. You don't hear his name once. And then he goes to Houston, and in his first year, he basically is like the world's biggest asshole. So it's, you know, it's a testament to the organization. It's a testament to the Patriots and making these guys, these questionable character guys, as you know, getting the most out of them. We've seen them do it a few times with different guys. They're kind of a big team that likes taking in these basket cases, and I think the organization is just so strong that they can keep them from getting in trouble while they're there. But I mean, this was a classic case of I don't think the Texans really knew what they were getting into with this guy.
Yeah.
Next thing that I could see. I don't know. I actually was just thinking about it running through the teams in my head. I don't know who – I don't really know who could use this guy. The Browns?
I mean, mid-season to learn the playbook. I mean, I don't know if anybody's going to actually try and pick him up and have him do all that. I don't think they think he's mature enough.
I mean, the Browns maybe? I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. This guy could be fucked.
Exactly.
Like the last thing the Browns need is like your two backup quarterbacks being Manziel and Ryan Mallett. So I don't know. Titans. It's funny. The thing that's so funny about it is the one team that would be able to use him is the Texans. So, like, if you're getting cut by the Texans, you're screwed. Because that's the worst quarterback situation in the league by far. So, if you can't cut it there, I don't see why any team would take a shot on you after that.
Almost even the Lions. I think Stafford's been stepping it up recently, but who's their backup?
Orlovsky, he sucks. They could use him as a backup. There's a couple teams that could use him as a backup, I guess. I mean, he's still, you know, he's got some ability. But next thing, not nearly as dumb. We're kind of going in order of dumbest to least dumb, if you will. Next thing, Adrian Peterson swallows a fat thing of chew on a flight. He's, like, puking after the flight. And at one point, they were like, he's questionable to play. Everyone was freaking out. Right before kickoff, it comes out that he actually just swallowed his chew on the plane and was puking. This is such an outrageous move. The horse is a big tobacco user in the mouth.
Hey, recovering.
I'm not.
Tobacco user.
Recovering. The recovering tobacco user. So I don't know how this works, but how – I don't understand how you swallow it, right? I mean, you weigh in. How do you just, like, accidentally swallow something?
The only reason I could see that happening is if he, like, took a nap or something and fell asleep with it in his mouth. You know what I mean?
Bizarre. Yeah, I mean, I guess, but has this ever happened to you?
Nah, it happened to my buddy one time. I mean, I swallowed it. It fucking sucks. It's like a stinging pain. It's basically like eating. It's like sits in your stomach, and it feels like you've got, like, a knife, like, in your stomach.
Could you imagine if you were one of these guys who had, like, if you were one of these, like, dime bettors and had, like, 10 grand on the Vikings last week, and it's like they say, like, on Saturday, Peterson might not play, and then you find out he will, but the reason was, like, he swallowed his chew on a plane?
Dude, speaking of that, for our little You Fucked Me segment, Chandler Catanzaro, god damn it, misses an extra point and just bones anybody on the Cardinals last week. Terrible.
I was on the Ravens. That was one of the most brutal non-covers by the Cardinals I've ever seen. It was, first of all, the block punt basically to the house. Crazy. The Kenzer, if he makes that, they're up 17, and they don't go for two, so they're still up 10, and they win the game by 10. But because he missed it, they were down 16, scored a touchdown, got the two, and they get the two after the penalty.
And got the two, which is the most absurd part. Like, after all that, they still convert. Like, it was still open to potentially still cover after all that happened.
Yeah. And then after all that, it looked like they were almost going to go to overtime. But Flacco threw that pick, which was one of the worst picks I've ever seen. The guy, the announcer, was like, you can't take a sack there. I completely understand where he's coming from. You can't take a sack, but you can throw it into the crowd through the end zone. You saw Palmer do it. It was almost they didn't call grounding. Just throw it through the back of the end zone. It's like you don't have to float it up, like, to the Cardinal DBs in the back of the end zone. Just throw it out of the back of the end zone, and you get another play, and you're fine. The announcers were, like, trying to, like, coddle him, being like, you got a feel for him because he made the smart decision not to take a sack. It wasn't a smart decision. Just throw it out the end zone. You're fine. Either way, also, I was on the under, so I was on the under, so that won the game for me, that pick.
Really?
Yeah.
What was the under in that?
Which was big. Forget. What was the final score? I think it was like 48, something like that. I forget. But I know if they had scored a touchdown there, even without the two-point conversion, the over would have hit. So everything went my way that way, and I needed it. So Peterson is kind of funny. I don't know, because, I mean, I guess he went to Oklahoma. I guess he's kind of a Southern guy. He might be from Texas, so it makes sense that he does. Chew, I never would have thought he would be the guy to get hit with that. I would have thought Mallett would have been the guy, the Arkansas product, big Southern QB. I would have thought that's what happened to him. I was a little surprised when it happened to Peterson, but I guess he is from the Deep South. I guess forgot, because he's been up in Minnesota so long. Interesting situation.
The guy must have swallowed a shitload. I mean, to get sick from it, like, actually sick.
Yeah, beyond just, like, because that's what I thought it was. I thought it was, like, you got sick and you puked a few times and then you were fine.
Well, like, to even puke is, like, you probably wouldn't even puke unless you swallowed, like, a large amount. Like, the amount you would put in your mouth. Like, if
especially
you
if he's a veteran.
That's
yeah.
not even packing.
Weird
like,
thing.
4 years old.
Yeah. Interesting. Interesting story. This is no, next one's kind of a lead thing. I have a take on this that you may or may not disagree with. Greg Hardy is freaking out on the sidelines. I don't mind it at all because Greg Hardy has played so well for the Cowboys and the rest of the team has played like shit. So if I'm Greg Hardy, like, I'm fine if he's getting pissed. If I'm a fan of the Cowboys, let him get pissed. I mean, the special teams unit was playing like shit. The rest of the defense didn't look great. He's been getting after the quarterback. He did it against the Patriots. He got to Brady. And I'd be pissed too. I understand because of his other stuff off the field, this makes him look like a really bad guy. And I'm not defending his character off the field by any means. I'm sure he is a bad guy. But in terms of me being a fan of the Cowboys, if I was one, I would be fine with this.
Yeah, I think it's he's just trying to get his team a little amped up. He had a little beef with Dez. I was wondering if that was going to explode. Like, I was kind of interested in hoping that it would as a Giants fan. What's up?
Dez does that all the time.
Yeah.
Dez has, like, freakouts on the sidelines, like, 4 or 5 times a season. Also, if you're a Cowboys fan, like, you got your all-pro, maybe the best receiver in football, coming off a foot injury, and you got him, like, running around the sidelines, like, getting in fights with Greg Hardy, I'd want him at home watching from the couch.
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
Romo's trying to come back week 12, right? I mean, the Cowboys are still pretty much in it, shockingly.
I know. No one's been able to separate themselves. I've been saying for a while I thought the Giants were going to win it, but if they don't between them and the Cowboys before Romo comes back, it's going to get really close down the stretch. How are you feeling about it? You're a Giants guy. You still feel confident you can win the division?
I think we can still win the division, obviously. It definitely helped that the Cowboys got that shit. Like, I mean, Romo went down and Dez went down in the first game against us. Picked up a big win against them this last week. So I'm pretty pumped about that. That gives us a chance, like, 1-1. If we had lost to the Cowboys, we would have been 0-2 against them. We would have been completely boned. But, I mean, now we're in a great spot to finish up the season.
Could have been because I was watching the Jets-Pats game last weekend, but it seems like receivers are dropping balls like crazy. I don't know if that's something
well,
you
Fell had like 4 drops.
Well, Fell had left. And Brandon Marshall dropped that ball. We probably, I'm not going to say we would have won the game because, you know, they came down and scored, but if we're up 8 with that, up 8 with like 7 minutes left in the game with our D, we got a real good shot to win that game. I mean, we could have won the game. We played a really good game. But Brandon Marshall dropped a ball. LaFell dropped a ton of balls. And then I forget who it was, but I saw someone drop a ball. I mean, Cole Beasley, like, on that punt return, like, completely muffed that. I don't know. Maybe it was – I think it was probably just a product of me watching the Jets-Pats, but it seems like saw a lot of drops on Sunday. So
Marsh has been dropping a few recently.
Yeah, he's kind of weird. He'll make, like, because he makes these amazing catches, and he's really good. He's a very good receiver. But then every once in a while he'll drop one, and it's like, I don't understand it really, because you don't really see, like, the elite guys, usually you don't see them drop balls. I mean, you know, like, a guy like Dez isn't dropping balls. Antonio Brown doesn't ever drop a ball. Odell doesn't ever drop balls. So...
Yeah,
not,
I mean,
and I'm not saying Brandon Marshall's in a category with those guys, but he's like, he's pretty, you know, he's second tier, you know, wide receiver. He's been one of the best fantasy wide receivers this year. Yeah, I mean, he's still really, really good. I mean, he gets 100 yards basically every game he plays, but it's interesting. I don't know. He's actually dropped a ball in our 2 losses that probably –
Yeah,
won us the game.
Well, one of them, I think he just didn't even want to go up for it because he was, like, scared of getting ripped up. But that last one,
there was an interception, and he, like, an interception that was thrown to him that ended up getting picked off. and he just, like, ran away from the play. Had no interest in trying to tackle the guy. So it's like stuff like that is I don't love to see, but he's also so much better than any receiver we've had for, like, 10 years. I mean, like, he's a lot better than Santonio Holmes was. Santonio Holmes was the number one.
Like your last good one.
Yeah, since Lavernius Coles. You got to take the good with the bad when it comes to Brandon Marshall, I think, and you can't really get on him for stuff like that. All right, you want to move into our picks?
Yeah, for sure.
All right, first game tonight, Dolphins, the new Dolphins, going into Foxborough. We said last week we thought it was going to be time for the Dolphins to get exposed again as not a great team. And they won again pretty damn comfortably. But who are you on in this game?
I'm on New England. I mean, New England easily. I mean, Nick Folk saved us. I mean, you were on the Jets probably too, right? Nick Folk with that field goal at the end of the game. Like, hit that 55-yarder and was huge to cover the spread by half a point. So I'm actually going to be on New England. I thought they could. I'm gonna be on New England against Miami, but yeah, that Nick Folk field goal is fucking unreal for us.
Dude, the thing was though, when we talked about that game and when I took it, the line was 9. If the Jets hadn't covered 9 in that game, it would have been the ultimate like. No one would have ever been screwed as bad as people who bet the Jets and lost on 9. Because if you take a 9-point dog in an NFL game. And they, like, have a chance to win the game in the fourth quarter, and you don't cover, that's just brutal. So, in a way, yeah, we got lucky on the Folk field goal. But also, the Jets should have easily covered that spread. So I don't feel like I got lucky in that game.
Yeah, that is true. I mean, they had the lead. If a team has the lead in the second half, they should not get beat by more than 9.
I mean, they lost Gronk, but... I'm trying to work my way past that game, so let's not talk about it.
Right.
So their last two games, the Dolphins have looked really good, but they played the Titans and then the Texans at home. So I don't – for me, I think they go into Foxborough. I think they're going to get rolled in a short week. I'm on the Pats, 8. You have it at 8?
Yeah, I have it at 8 also. I saw some people 7.5,
yeah.
But I think it's more at 8 now.
Yeah, I don't think the Dolphins are for real. Short week, Dan Campbell, he seems like a guy who can get his guys fired up. And Thursday night games are weird, you know, there's a lot of, like, weird defensive plays, usually a lot of turnovers, usually pretty sloppy. So I'll take my chances with Brady to turn it over, to not turn it over instead of Tannehill, you know?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the thing about the Pats is that even if they're down, I mean, they can still ride up the score at the end of the game, too, like you saw against the Jets. So.
Yep. All right, so we're on the same thing there. Lions going to Arrowhead. They are 4-point dogs. I think the Lions are trash, garbage, scum. Kansas City won last week, dominated against a depleted Pittsburgh team, but they still won the game, proved they can win without Jamal Charles. I think Detroit is not any good. I think Kansas City has a better defense and a quarterback that can manage the game a lot better than Stafford. I think it's a tough place to play. It's starting to get cold. Wouldn't surprise me if Stafford threw some picks. I'm on Kansas City.
Yeah, I'm all over Kansas City. I think Arrowhead, I think it was rated like one of the top 3 toughest places to play in. Detroit is just not any good. Stafford had 2 good games in a row, but, I mean, they're still not even that great again. So he's on my fantasy team. We're playing each other in fantasy this week, and he's on my fantasy team.
Yes, we are.
I'm trying to actually snipe Cam Newton from Carp, actually.
Cam.
But
he came from Johnson and I squad.
I know, yeah, you guys got Brady for him, right?
You like that trade?
Yeah, that was a good trade.
Yeah, we got Tom going tonight now. So we're both on, so we're on the same page so far. Tampa Bay going to Atlanta. Atlanta's favored by 7.5. I think it'll probably go up to 8. Who are you on?
I've got seven, and I'm on Atlanta. I mean, I just don't think Tampa Bay is that good again. And I've been on Atlanta. They've been struggling the last couple against the spread. I think they like are maybe 1-3 in their or 1-2 in their last three against the spread. But I think that they'll cover it here against Tampa Bay at home.
Yeah, I think they're going to cover it easily. Tampa Bay, I think, is going to be really, really depleted after that disastrous situation last week when they gave up a 4-touchdown lead to the Redskins. And I think the Falcons are going to be on a bit of a mission after a, kind of a really disappointing 10-7 win against the Titans. They're going to look to rebound from that. I think Tampa Bay.
That Redskins?
Yeah, you like that? Kirk Cousins.
Yeah.
I don't know how I feel about Kirk Cousins, to be honest. Can't get a read on the guy. But I'm on Atlanta here. They're at home. I mean, if you look at their last three games, it's been pretty unimpressive. They beat the Redskins at home in overtime. They lost to the Saints pretty badly, and they barely etched out a win against the Titans. So I think they're going to have a big bounce-back game. I think Tampa Bay is pretty bad, quite frankly. I don't see any reason. I don't see any reason the Falcons don't dominate this game.
Yeah, I'm on the same way too.
Okay, all right. So still on par. I'm telling you, if anyone's listening to this, this is a good week to bet. I said I like the lines. Horst said he liked the lines, and we're on a lot of the same stuff so far. San Diego rolling into Baltimore. Baltimore's favored by 3. I love Baltimore. I hate that San Diego has to do the cross-country trip to go play on the East Coast. I think San Diego's, at this point, they're just not any good. Stomped by the Raiders. They're just not a good football team. I think Baltimore is kind of not turning a corner because they've only won one game. But if you look at their schedule, they've actually played a decent amount of, a fairly decent amount of close games against solid teams. You saw, I mean, last week, I don't know if you'd call it a close game against the Cardinals. But the Cardinals are one of the best teams in the league, and they had to go on the road across the country, and they lost in the same fashion to San Francisco. Going across the country, they had to go across the country 2 weeks in a row. They might have even stayed out there. I'm not sure. But, I mean, look, they only lost by 4 to the Bengals. They lost by 6 to the Broncos. They lost by 6. They lost by 4 to the Raiders on the road. They only lost by 6 to the Broncos. That was also on the road. They beat the Steelers on the road. Who proved they can win games with Vic. They beat the Cardinals with Vic. The Ravens won that game. These games aren't as bad as their 1-6 record would show. So I'm gonna take the Ravens and think they should win this game easy.
Yeah, well, I'm also on Baltimore. I mean, San Diego could have been routed last week, but in the fourth quarter they kind of ran up the score in garbage time. They were on track to lose like 42-0 at one point, 42-3. They couldn't score for shit.
Yeah, they ran out of play. It was looking
bad. Yeah, so I'm on the Ravens also on this one. So I think this is our first week actually where our first four picks are the same.
Sure it is. I'm sure it is. I think we're going to be going different ways on this one because we have very different opinions about the two teams that are playing. From what I've recalled from the past, I'm seeing – tell me if you have a different line here. I'm seeing anywhere – I've been looking around at a lot of different websites, and from I've seen everything from Bears by 1 to a place that had the Bears plus 1. What do you have for a line on this game?
I have – one second. I have Minnesota as a 1.5-point underdog.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to call it a pick because
also,
I saw – I'm on the Bears.
Okay, yeah, I'm on Minnesota on this one.
Yeah, that one is one. We've been on different sides of the Minnesota line. The Bears, when Cutler plays, have been decent. I mean, they lost at Lambeau by a touchdown. Not terrible. They beat Oakland, who's proved to be a pretty good team. They went into Arrowhead and won. And then they just lost on the road in overtime to Detroit. So when Cutler plays, they're a 500 team, and touchdown loss at Lambeau. I'll take my chances with that.
Yeah, no, I'm taking Vikings. I think that they're doing well managing the clock. They're not risking it. They're just pounding the rock, playing good defense. And I just think that Cutler's going to throw a couple balls into traffic and get picked off.
Yeah, I mean, that's always a safe assumption. I'm looking at the schedule. The Bears,
yeah,
Chargers,
yeah,
is our Monday night game next week. What a terrible game.
Games they've been picking for, like, the big-time games have been garbage this year.
Yeah, I mean, this week, yeah,
I mean, last week.
Green Bay, Denver on Sunday night this week.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Of course, I'll miss it because I'll be at the Mets game.
Oh, you're going?
Yeah, I mean, shit, if we can get to game five.
Yeah, no, my buddy's actually going.
I think Syndergaard. I think Syndergaard wins tomorrow. What?
Yeah, no, I do too. I'm going to be riding pretty heavy on too.
It doesn't look good, but that's neither here nor there. Tennessee, Houston. Oh, no, sorry. Arizona Cardinals are favored by 7. Going to play Cleveland. I am on the Cardinals. I think that secondary picks off McCown a couple times. Takes at least one to the house. The Browns suck. There's no way around it. I think the Cardinals might have a little bit of a sour taste in their mouth from the way they finished that game last week and are really going to want to come out strong. I think that Ellington's getting back to full health. The receivers, Brown's back playing full health. I mean, Carson Palmer has a lot of weapons, and he's really good. He has the highest winning percentage of any quarterback since 2013 when he plays, better than Rodgers, better than Manning, better than Brady. He's been hurt a lot, so his games played aren't as high, but he has the best winning percentage, and obviously I think it's safe to say they're going to beat the Browns, but I expect them to stomp the Browns.
Yeah, I'm on Arizona also. They've actually disappointed against the spread recently, but I think they're going to cover this week. I mean, they got 3 great running backs. They all do different things. David Johnson can receive. Chris Johnson actually has kind of had a restart of his career there. I mean, he's doing great there. He's
a big resurgence.
Yeah, like 80 yards a game almost, a couple touchdowns. So I'm all over him also. Larry Fitzgerald also coming out of the woodwork, coming back after a down year, stepping up. So John Brown, I mean, they got weapons all over the field on offense, so they can really run it up.
Malcolm Floyd.
Yeah, I mean,
their weapons are amazing. At the start of the season, I was talking about making a futures play on them, didn't do it. And then right off the bat, their odds got fucked because they looked really good right away. So what I could have gotten them at and what I'd get them at now, it's just like it's not even worth it to me. But I think they're the second best team in the NFC behind the Packers. I think they're better than the Panthers.
I think that they're about even with the Panthers.
Any arguments there? You think the Panthers are better? Do you think the Panthers or Cardinals are better?
I think they're about even with each other. I think that the Panthers faced Seattle on the road, and that's just – I mean, it's a big game. I mean, Seattle obviously is going to face – I mean, were last year, but, I mean, that's a big signature win. Arizona's kind of been struggling for me a little bit. But, I mean, I still think that they're going to bounce back here and easily cover that spread.
I don't know if I'm just, like, blowing smoke here, but I feel like Arizona has played a really easy schedule. Joe Hayden. Dude, listen to the schedule that Arizona's played, and it's like I'm basically proving your case for you instead of my own that they're better than the Panthers. But they played the Saints at home, the Bears, the Niners at home, the Rams at home, the Lions, the Steelers without Roethlisberger, and then the Ravens.
Yeah, I mean, the team – and they keep, like, not covering the spread in the last few, which is just, like, because of something shitty. I mean, last one's Fenzo.
They didn't cover – they covered against the Lions. They covered the first 3 weeks. They covered 4 out of the first 5 weeks, and they haven't
and
covered
one out of the last
so they're
four.
They're 4-3 against the spread this year. But I mean, their schedule gets tougher. I mean, they play Seattle twice, they play Green Bay, Eagles on the road, Cincinnati. So, well, that division's just not as hard as it was 2 years ago.
Yeah.
2 years ago, when the Niners were at the top of the division and the Seahawks won the Super Bowl and the Cards were still were good still, that division was the toughest division in football. Now you look at a Cardinals team, I mean a Niners team that's one of the worst in the league. The Rams have been up and down, although they do look solid. But it's just not, you know, it's not what it used to be. Like the schedule 2 years ago, if you were like, oh, they got the Niners twice, they got the Seahawks twice, you know, you'd be like, all right, they're in for a rough finish to the season. But now it's like they should win those games.
Yeah, so. I mean, they've been favored in every single game, I think, this year.
Yeah, so I still think they're good because I think they have really good defense. And I think they play special teams phenomenally. I think Patrick Peterson's a phenomenal kick returner and maybe the best cornerback in the NFL other than Terrell Revis, obviously. Okay, let's move on. Tennessee-Houston. What's going on in this game? Do you know?
I honestly have – I don't even have this on my line.
I don't either. It's not up to me either. I think it's because they don't know if Mettenberger is going to – like Mettenberger or Mariota is going to play. Is that what it is? Something's going on here, and I couldn't figure it out.
Yeah,
I looked around. I mean, it should be obvious what's happening. I don't know. Let's move past it.
You want to just skip it?
Yeah. Giants going into New Orleans. I'll let you lead on this one because it's your G-men.
All right. Yeah. I mean, I'm going to be riding my G-men again this week. Into a difficult place to play in New Orleans. I mean, the Saints always play well at home. But I think the Giants are playing well. I mean, they're getting JPB back. Maybe I'm not. I don't know if it's for this week. I think it's actually week 12, which is actually weird. But they finally get that past them. They had a nice win against the Cowboys, 27-20. Covered that spread. And you know what? Even though the Saints are really good at home, I think that the Giants are kind of formulating into a good squad right now and are going to take this one.
Could not disagree more. I think that the Saints at home are a very formidable team. They stomped the Falcons 2 weeks ago. They beat the Colts on the road, which shocked me. The Colts look like absolute shit this year. And then they beat Dallas at home. So, I mean, this is a very good team at home, is the bottom line. It's Breeze seems to be getting back to full health. Ingram is running the ball really well, had 143 yards last week. Brandon Cooks led the team in receiving for only the second time, so he's starting to get back in the swing of things. He can be a really good weapon. I think they do a lot of things with Cooks that the Eagles like to do that gave the Giants a lot of problems. And the Giants have had a hard time winning games on the road this year. There's no way around that. When you looked at that first game in Dallas, they clearly didn't know how to close that game out. Lost that one. I mean, they did win in Buffalo. Then they got stomped on the road in Philadelphia. So they've only played three road games this year, and they're 1-2. With an impressive win in Buffalo, I'll give you that. But I see them losing this game. I see them losing it by more than three. The Giants just seem like one of those teams to me that's like, as soon as you think they're good, they have a letdown. They won three games in a row and then got stomped by the Eagles. They looked pretty good against Dallas. I think they have a letdown this week against New Orleans. I really don't.
Okay.
I mean, it's not a top play. It's not my favorite play. But I certainly would not bet my American dollars on the New York Football Giants this week. Next game, Cincinnati is going to Pittsburgh, return of Big Ben. I think Cincinnati gets their first loss this week. I think that place is going to be so loud with Big Ben back in the lineup. They're going to be going nuts there. I think Big Ben plays great. He gets the ball to Antonio Brown. Le'Veon Bell's a weapon. They've looked solid. Obviously last week with they had to go with Landry Jones because Vic went out, which is – that's really brutal. When you bring in a guy to be your backup, your starter goes down, and then the backup goes down. But they looked pretty good under Vic. They had the overtime loss to Baltimore in a short week. But then they went on the road and beat San Diego. They beat the Cardinals at home, which is an impressive win. So I think the core of this football team is there. And now they got their leader back. I think the place is going to be electric. They need this win because Cincinnati's running away with the division. And I'm not saying that I think the Steelers can catch them, but they are 4-3. So if they win this game, they're 5-3. Bengals 6-1, and they still have another game with the Bengals. This is a huge game for the Steelers. I think they come out and win it.
Yeah, I'm also on the Steelers. I mean, Antonio Brown has been limited with Vic and Landry Jones at QB. I mean, with Jones, actually, he got his first 100-yard game. With Big Ben, the amount of targets, the amount of, chemistry they had between the two of them, I really think that that's going to just be automatic when Big Ben comes back. And I think that Antonio Brown will have a big game, and that will allow Le'Veon Bell to run between the tackles with way less people in the box. Cincinnati hasn't lost this year, but I think that their first loss is coming this week.
Nice. We're on the same page there. And Martavis Bryant's back. So, I mean, I don't know how you defend that offense. I really don't. You have Wheaton and Martavis. Martavis is one of the best touchdown threats in the league. Then you have Antonio Brown, who might be the best wide receiver in the league. And if you can line him up in the slot, move him around the field, it makes the defense play a lot of guys in the secondary. And then the box is wide open for Le'Veon Bell, who might be the best running back in football. I don't know what you do with them. I think the Steelers are a team that could be dangerous moving forward. It's really their defense that's the question.
Yeah.
All right, so we're on the same page there. San Francisco going to St. Louis, 9.5-point spread. Who are you on?
I am on San Francisco just because of the points. I don't think St. Louis is good enough at home to warrant almost double-digit. I think it might even get to double-digit spread by game time. I mean, San Francisco's not a good team, but I think that they are going to try and just protect the ball a little bit better and keep it within one score.
Yeah, I mean, this was a tough one for me because I really am with you. I thought this number should have been closer to 7. And normally with me, when I see a spread higher or lower than I think it should be, usually I hammer the other team. But in this case, I thought about it again and kind of changed my mind. I mean, the Rams, what really gave the Niners trouble last week when they looked terrible against the Seahawks was Kaepernick handling the pass rush was so bad. He looked terrible against the pass rush. Now you're talking about a team with Robert Quinn, maybe the best edge rusher in the game behind J.J. Watt, and a defense that can get after the quarterback like one of the best top teams in the league. I think that gives Kaepernick trouble, especially on the road. So I'm going to go with the Rams. The thing is that makes this so tough for me is the Rams only win this year that they won by a number that would cover the spread, so essentially 10 points. Their only 10-point win this year was last week against the Browns at home. But I love what Gurley's doing. So, you know, if that can open things up for Foles and Tavon Austin, I love that. I mean, last three games, Gurley, 146 yards, 159 yards, 128 yards. So I think it's really – he makes that football team so much better. It allows them to score more points. And I think that is what they're going to need to cover this number. I think Gurley is going to be a difference maker in this game. Even if he doesn't go off, just opening up the secondary for Foles to maybe find Austin because they have to put so many guys in the box to stop Gurley. So it's a tough one for me. I completely understand where you're coming from. It was kind of a toss-up. I think the number's too big, but I can't justify taking the Niners here, so I'm on the Rams. But I don't like it, though. It's not a play I like.
I wasn't that confident in mine either. So I'm iffy on that one.
All right, next game, Jets going to Oakland. Favored by 2.5. I was a little surprised by this line. I thought it would be a pick 'em. Jets 2.5. I'm on the Jets. I think that we proved ourselves last week as one of the top. As the defense didn't look as good as it has been, but shutting down Brady and Foxborough, that's you can't expect that to happen if you know anything about football. So I don't think that's a knock on our defense. I think we do still have the number one defense in the league statistically. But I also just with the eye test, I think we have the best defense in the league. There's not a lot you can do just because we have such a good defensive line. We can rush four and get to the quarterback. And then we have, you know, Buster Screen, Darrell Revis, and Cromartie in the secondary. So it's like there's not a lot you can do with the ball. And on the other side of things, this game to me reminds me a whole lot of the Raiders-Broncos game, just because Broncos have a really good defense. Maybe, you know, top three in the league. Jets probably have the best defense in the league. And in that game, Denver won 16-10, only gave up 10 points. They shouldn't have covered the line on that game. I should have won that game. I was on Oakland, and there was that Harris pick six that fucked my spread up. But Oakland couldn't score the ball on that defense at home. I don't see them being able to score the ball on our defense at home. And if anyone had said this last year, you would have called them crazy. But the Jets' offense is way better than the Broncos. I mean, Peyton Manning has the worst touchdown interception ratio in the league. Maybe him and Andrew Luck. I don't know no one probably would have believed that either. It's like two worst quarterbacks in the league this year, Luck and the fact of the matter is the Jets have a lot better offense than Denver. Have a similar quality defense, I think better. So I don't see the Raiders being able to score very many points in this game. So just for that reason, I think we cover 2.5 pretty easily.
Yeah, on this one, I think I've got 1.5 for me.
Do you?
Let me double
check. Even better.
Yeah, I'm also on the Jets. I think it'll be tough traveling to Oakland, but I think that the Jets, I mean, they didn't win last week, but they definitely proved they can play with good teams. I think that they're going to come out, play a little angry, and win actually by a touchdown.
Yeah, I like that. I mean, it's a big bounce back week. I loved Bull's quote. If you show me a good loser, I'll show you a loser. Amazing quote.
Yeah.
That's the guy you
Bull's
want to coach.
Great coach. That's fucking awesome that you guys got him.
Okay. I told the horse about this game before the show started. I had in like the last since I had the Eagles over the Saints. I think that was 2 weeks ago. Since that game, this is my favorite bet since then. Cowboys getting more than a touchdown. I have 7.5. Maybe you have 7, so that's an interesting dynamic. I don't know. That's obviously a big difference. But touchdown dogs at home against a Seahawks team I don't think is that good. I think they overperformed last week against a division rival. I think that defense hates the Niners. They hate what they've stood for the last 3 years. They've dominated Kaepernick recently. They're still, at their core, not a good road football team. And that's, I mean, they're improved from what they were a couple of years ago, but it's not debatable that they are not even anywhere near as good on the road as they are at home. They're on the road now. Dallas, I'm not going to say, is a tough place to play. I don't think it really is. I think it's kind of a more of a event to go to the stadium than fans caring about the game. But, I mean, you look at what this team has done on the road. They lose in St. Louis. They lose in Green Bay. They lose in Cincinnati. They got their first road win of the year. They lost to the Panthers at home. They were a Calvin Johnson fumble on the line of scrimmage away from losing to the Lions at home, and the Lions are terrible. So their one game they've looked good this entire season, I'm not counting when they beat the Bears with Jimmy Clausen because I don't care about the game. They looked good one game all year, and it was a Thursday night football game against the Niners, who are terrible. So I'm not ready. I know a lot of people with the personnel the Seahawks have, every time they look good, it's like, all right, they're back. They're going to be a Super Bowl contender again. I'm not ready to discount the first 6 weeks after one good performance on a Thursday night game. They're going on the road to Dallas, who has Dez Bryant coming back, and one of the best offensive lines in football. If you have a good offensive line, you can control the tempo of a game. I think I'm not saying Dallas wins the game, but I wouldn't be surprised at all if they kept this game a lot closer than people think.
Yeah, I'm at actually 6 on this game. I bet the spread. I bet it'll get a little higher, but I was leaning towards Seahawks before you started talking. But I actually have been riding the Seahawks, thinking that they're a good team. I think a lot of people have thought that all season, and they just have been underperforming. People keep saying that they're underperforming, but it might just be because they're not as good as they were last year. If the spread gets to 7 or above, I will take the Cowboys. But otherwise, I am going to lay off if it stays at 6.
Okay. All right, so I'll put that down. If it's 7, you're on Dallas.
Yeah.
Below 7, nothing. Okay.
Yeah,
I mean, here's the thing. They don't have 3 of their offensive linemen that were on the team for those Super Bowl runs. And winning at the line of scrimmage is huge. That's why you've seen Lynch's production be down. They lost Carpenter. They lost Unger. Carpenter's a Jet now. In a lot of ways, it's not the same. They lost Byron Maxwell. They've lost a lot of pieces of that puzzle. And granted, with Pete Carroll and that defense, they certainly have a lot of weapons left on that defense. And if they dominate again this week, okay, maybe I'll be back on the side. All right, Seattle's still good. But for me, they got to do a lot more than beat the Niners, the Bears, and the Lions for me to buy into them. And so they're going on the road, given a touchdown potentially. I'm all over the Cowboys. That was pretty long-winded, but I'm adamant about this one. Which means they'll probably get 3 pick sixes and win by 30. Seahawks. The Sunday night game is a great one. It's Green Bay is going to Denver. Green Bay is favored by 2.5. And I'll let you go ahead, but there's a team I like in this one almost as much as the Cowboys.
Yeah, I'm on Green Bay. I don't know where you're leaning, but Denver could easily be a 3-loss team. They had that Kansas City fumble return for a 6. A couple other things have happened to them where they've squeaked out wins in OT. And the Packers have just looked solid all year. I mean, they're much better at home, but I think Rodgers, after a bad week, is going to step up his game. He threw a couple of picks for the first time. I don't know if that was last week or if that was 2 weeks ago, but I think it'll still be fresh in his mind that he wants to come out and beat a good team. So I think that he's going to beat them by a touchdown.
I'm on the Broncos. I think you can kind of throw the bye week out the window because the Broncos were on a bye week also. So that kind of goes out the window. I think Peyton Manning's as good as preparing off a bye as anyone. I don't see how you bet against Peyton Manning. And I know Rodgers is good too, but a primetime game at home as an underdog. I don't know what the numbers are, but I'm willing to bet. I bet Peyton Manning has never been an underdog at home on primetime in the last 10 years. So I know his arm's been banged up. The Packers, I bet he's never lost one, but I bet he's certainly never been an underdog. The Packers have been really good this year. On the road, they've only played 2 road games, and those 2 road games were against the Niners and the Bears. So they haven't really ever been tested on the road yet this year. I could obviously see the Packers winning this game because Aaron Rodgers is the best player in football, in my opinion. But I am going to take a home underdog with one of the top defenses and one of the best quarterbacks at preparing off a bye week.
Yeah, their defense is amazing. I mean, it's been stellar all year, rivaling the Jets for best defense in the league.
My main thing is I think Peyton Manning, or I think Aaron Rodgers will have just as hard a time as moving the ball on the Broncos D as Peyton will on moving it against the Packers D.
Yeah.
Now, that being said, if Clay Matthews gets after Peyton, he might just, die in the middle of the field. I mean, that guy is,
they've had a lot of inside linebacker recently, so that might not have as many chances at him.
Has he? It seems like every time I watch a Packers game, he's in the backfield.
Yeah, he had to switch to inside linebacker because they had some injuries or something like that, and they're saying, he's one of the MVPs of the year for switching.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, I just I think the Broncos were trying to do something early in the year that they shouldn't have been trying to do, like having Peyton under center. It just doesn't work. And I know you want to develop your run game, But as long as you have Peyton Manning at quarterback, you gotta give him. He's not at this stage in his career. He cannot drop back five steps and make a strong throw. He has to be able to step into his throws to get any kind of heat on the ball. So you got to have him out of the shotgun. They've been trying him out of the pistol a lot. That's been a little better. But, I mean, for Christ's sake, they went to overtime with Cleveland, so I completely understand where you're coming from. But I think Peyton shows the world something on primetime just because he's done it every other time before, based on nothing but that. He's been one of the best primetime quarterbacks. And Aaron Rodgers has too, but I feel like a lot of Rodgers look so good in primetime was in Lambeau.
Yeah, he does get a lot of primetime home games in Lambeau.
So I'm gonna go with the Broncos there, but I can see where you're coming from being on the Packers. And then we got a shitty game on Monday night. We got the Colts going to Carolina to play the Panthers. 7.5-point spread. I think that spread's too big, but I'm on the Panthers. I hoped it would be a little smaller. I'm taking the Panthers. I think their defense is really good. I think the Colts' defense has absolutely no chance at containing Cam Newton. No chance. I think he's going to hit a couple guys early, and then he's going to start running all over them.
Yeah, I'm on the Panthers also. I mean, I think it's a pretty big spread, but, I mean, at home against a pretty underperforming and not a very good team in Indianapolis, a team that a lot of people thought would be pretty good with their veteran pickups and things like that. But honestly, Carolina looked good last week. Obviously, they took the Seahawks away. I was questioning how good they actually were, but I'm actually pretty convinced that they're a pretty good team now. And I'm going to take the 7 points. And I think they're going to win by 10.
I've been questioning the Panthers as well. I thought the Eagles were going to actually beat them. I thought the Seahawks were going to hammer them. And I lost both times. So I guess it's time to hop on the bandwagon at this point. I mean, I think the Colts made some of the dumbest offseason moves of all time. They have a terrible offensive line. You got to bolster your O-line to protect a young stud quarterback in Andrew Luck. I don't know what they were thinking. I don't know. A team that goes to the AFC Championship game and loses because, first of all, the Patriots were very, very good, but also because they had an atrocious defense. Andrew Luck willed them to the AFC Championship game. They had one of the best offenses in the league last year. Andrew Luck had one of the best years of any quarterback in the league. So I don't know why, for that reason, their GM or their owner decided it would be a good move to go out and get two skill position players that are well past their prime. It doesn't make any sense to me. Get a guy on defense. Go out, get Brandon Browner, Saints got Browner. Colts could have easily gotten Browner if they hadn't spent money on – I mean, it's not like they paid him a fortune, but they didn't need another wide receiver. They have T.Y. Hilton. They have Moncrief. They have Fleener and Dwayne Allen. That's enough for Luck. We saw that it was enough for Luck. And their running game was terrible, so I kind of understand the Gore move, but I would have preferred them to go after someone early in the draft. Maybe get a running back in the second round, something like that. They should have been bolstering their offensive line and their defense. They don't need more skill position guys. I didn't understand those moves at all, and it's not that surprising to me that they're not as good as what everyone thought they were going to be. A lot of people thought they were going to be a Super Bowl contender. That's crazy. All they did was leave their weaknesses weaker and not really improve their strengths. So, I don't know. Are you with me on that?
Yeah, I'm completely with you. I mean, their team just obviously has been completely underperforming to people's standards. But Greg Gore's old. Andre Johnson didn't seem like he had much left in the tank when he was with Houston. I mean, they're decent pickups if they're just, like, additions for the playoffs. I mean, they need better line, better defense. They need all kinds of things that they don't have the luxury to spend their cap space on those things, like on a veteran leadership type of player. They need complete skilled players that go out there and make plays. And I just don't think Andre Johnson and Frank Gore – I mean, Frank Gore looked decent last week. But, I think they needed more than what they picked up as well.
I mean, Frank Gore has been better than, I guess, anything they had last year. But the reason they need a running back, or their running game's been so terrible, is because their O-line is so bad. And obviously, it's like everyone listening to this is like, oh, well, it's easy to say this hindsight. But I think it was pretty glaring for a long time that the Colts had a pretty bad offensive line. That was no secret last year. And it was certainly no secret that their defense sucked. Everyone knew that he had a bad defense. But they still got the AFC Championship game.
35 a game last year.
But that being said, they still got to the AFC Championship game, and they had luck coming back. So everyone was kind of like, oh, they're going to be really good. Maybe they go to the Super Bowl this year. But it's like, wait a second. Everything they got exposed last year, they didn't look to improve at all. So I don't know. This is no surprise to me, really. I didn't take the Colts in any of my preseason futures plays, and I thought they were way overvalued. At this, before the Brady thing was overturned, they were the odds-on favorite to win the AFC.
Were they actually?
Crazy. Yeah, crazy. Like 3-1. 3-1 to win the AFC at the start of the season.
What are they now, 2-5, or are they 1-6?
No. They're not that bad because they play in that terrible division. I think they might even be – they're 3-4. But, I mean, here, I'll run you through. I'll give you a little taste of what the Colts have done this year. First game of the season, get stomped by the Bills. Week 2, get embarrassed at home on Monday Night Football by the big, bad New York Jets. And, by the way, leading rusher in those two games, Frank Gore. Game 1, 31 rushing yards. Game 2, 57. Next game, they beat Tennessee 35-33. That's not an impressive one. Then they beat the Jags in overtime, and Hasselbeck started that game. Then they beat the Texans, and Hasselbeck started that game. Then they got handled by the Patriots. That actually was the game they looked the best in. And then they get stomped at home by the Saints, who are a terrible road team. So, and in that game, Gore, 43 yards. But T.Y. Hilton, 150. So, like, the guys who were good for them last year are still there, but they didn't do anything to improve the situation around them. And listen to this part of their schedule they have coming up. They got the Panthers on the road, then they got Denver, then they got the Falcons on the road. So, I mean, we're looking at a football team. They lose those three games. Colts are 3-7 through 10. They're in trouble. And people are acting like they're just still going to win that division because it's so bad. I mean, it's them, the Jags, the Texans, and who's the other team in that division? The Texans, the Jags. Oh, the Titans. The Titans. So it's like the Titans, the Jags, the Texans, and the Colts will go down in history as the worst division in football. And I'm including last year's NFC South situation, which was a disgrace as well, when the Panthers made the playoffs with a 7-8 and 1 record. So kind of Colts there because I think they've mishandled a situation that could have been very fruitful for RSA moving forward. We're going to call it a show there. We will tune in next week. I actually have a really good feeling on this week. I'll run through the teams. We're on the same thing again because there's a lot of them. We both felt confident about this week, and it's not surprising to me that we were on a lot of the same sides. So if you're listening to this, hammer these games. Patriots. We're both on the Patriots tonight. It'd be tough to get on that one unless you're listening live. If you are, Patriots -8, Chiefs -4, Falcons -7.5. Baltimore -3. We both love Baltimore -3. Cardinals -7 at Cleveland. Pittsburgh. We both love Pittsburgh giving the Bengals their first loss. Both on the Jets going to Oakland, favored by 2.5. And we're both on the Panthers -7.5 on Monday Night Football against the Colts. We're going to have Taylor Swift take you out. Thanks for listening to another edition of the Degenerates.